In Jesus' precious and mighty name we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a mighty clap offering of praise. Amen. Welcome everyone. Have you had your seats? Tell your neighbor good afternoon. I want to first start by apologizing to some of you who may have waited too long outside to come in. We ate so much into your time. I am so sorry for that. We apologize to you. Praise God. We are going to see how we are going to make sure you're obeying the ushers while they talk to you to have order in the hall. Praise the Lord. We are going to see how fast we can be on the ninth law. Those of you that are here today, you are most blessed. And you know, we have done several laws, the law of purpose, the first law, second law, law of financial wisdom and financial intelligence, third law, the law of financial vision and financial planning, fourth law, the law of income enhancement and multiple earnings. You have to earn from multiple streams. Somebody say, I hear. And then the fifth law, the law of financial grace and what? The blessing. The sixth law is the law of what? Financial stewardship and management. You have to begin to manage what you earn. Please obey the ushers. Those of you at the back, stand up and start entering where you need to, please. Unless you want me to stop. Financial stewardship and financial management. And the seventh law is the law of financial frugality and habitual saving. So you have to practice how to have money. One is to earn money. The second is to have the money and use it to now start growing more money. And the third one is the law of financial multiplication and what? Investments. There we gave you about five superpowers of master investors and what can make you a very good investor, right? And that's powerful. Now where the big boys play. I didn't really want to teach this in church because this has to do a whole lot about the business of finance. And I don't know how some people will take it that we talk so much business inside church. They say, is this a business school? Praise God. I wanted to set out a different business school that will just know that it's not a church service. But obviously the Lord convinced me to do that. And especially because we are going to work on it a bit superficially. We're not going to go too deep into the practicals. So we're going to have other schools where we can now settle down and get into the practicals. And I have to bring in some other people who are experts and they are masters in their own, you know, whatever, to handle these things. Because me, I'm just a humble pastor. Praise the Lord. Now power, I know how to flow. Praise God. All right. Now, while we are teaching this, what is financial leveraging? It's a financial leverage, which we did this last, is the use of debts. Whoever is there be following me, if you know, you should have read what, so when I'm moving, you're moving. Okay? Financial leverage is the use of debts or what? Equity. So you either use debts. I told you debts are borrowed funds. Equity is when you give up in lay terms your profits to be shared with people who may now become co-owners of the business. So there are two ways to leverage your finances in building assets. The first is I go to a financial institution, I go to and ask for facilities. and they give me money. Debts. Somebody say debts. I now have terms of repayment and I'm repaying it with interest. So I'm using debts. So some people say, I want to raise capital. And they have to go. And sometimes when you go to these institutions, they'll ask you, depending on the most commercial banks will ask for a very, that you put down a percentage of the seed money. Some will say 20% of what you want to borrow. Do you have it? They will ask for collaterals in case you don't get up, meeting up with your obligations to the debts. They can at least auction and sell those things to recover their money because it's a risk. Okay? So that one kind. The second is equity. When I say to people, I say, hey, this is my idea. We have great things. I want to invest in my business. And if you can give me this amount of money, look at what we've been able to do with the little we have. The business is solvent. It's giving us some profit. I just need, if you can put in $50,000 and we will scale and we'll be able, and we want to give you 10% equity of our business. So we say equity means that with that 50,000 the person is investing, what it means is that the person owns 10% of your profit. After you have your gross income and you remove all your capital, all including your operation, your expenditures, everything, what is remaining is your net profit. After tax, then the people who own the business, which is you who have the business and your investors, will now share equity, depending on what equity you gave out. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And now you can have this on terms that if we give you a lot of money and if we perform well between this time to this time, you'll see that on contracts many times. We expect to triple the investment. So we don't want you to stop here. And there are different kinds of equity. There are, you know, public equities where you have venture capital firms that what they do is to provide seed money to startups or people who want to scale. You have private equity where you have angel investors, people who just have the money to invest. So there is public equity. There is even employee equity where you have someone that you need his expertise, maybe in operations, maybe in management, maybe in marketing, whatever, sales. And you at that moment cannot afford the person's services, but you need this person. This person has worked for multinationals. This person has worked for Fortune 500 companies. You know, we call them Fortune 500. They are the, you say, the biggest 500 companies in the world, okay, by their asset base, okay? So they have worked for those people. And you know that for you to take this thing to the next level, you need someone whose mind has been so exposed, that have handled that level of operation, that scale of business. And you want to take your thing from one little thing that you're doing or one thing that is trapped in your region or just in your country. You need to bring in these guys. So you look at people like Facebook, like Apple, that some of the things they did. Okay? They moved from just, you know, connecting students in Harvard and being around, and they started bringing engineers, people who can scale this thing to become a worldwide, you know. And because you can't pay them, the company doesn't have money. Many times you offer them what? Equity. So we call them employee what? Equity. He said, come and work with me. I'll give you 5% of our equity, 1% of our equity, 2% of our equity. I can't pay you now. So you, with that, you're raising money because maybe this is somebody that was earning annually six figures. Annually, the person earns $300,000. The S and N, $600,000. Now he's coming to work for you for free for equity. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? So financial leverage is the use of debts or equity to finance, watch the words we are using, assets, and increase the potential return on an investment. You use it to finance business assets, not liabilities. Assets are things that have appreciable value. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So when you invest in them, they continue to increase in value and multiply in value. Liabilities are things that take money from you. They don't bring money to you. And from the moment you get them, they start depreciating in value. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So this is where you also separate the men. You know, I told you that investment is where you separate the boys from the men, or the men from the boys. This is where you separate the great men from men. Great men use a concept we call in business OPM, other people's money. They don't sit down and work for every single thing and grow their business over bundle. Just everywhere, they put him back a little, put him back a little. It takes you years with so much suffering, and what you're getting is little. This is what has kept a lot of hardworking people little. Yes, you have some money, you make some investments, you'll be big, but you'll never really go continental. You'll never really become a multinational. You'll never really have operations where one day you say, our outfit, is employing about 5,000 people, 20,000 people. We have this particular investment base, and is about $25 billion, like Dangote. Dangote refinery, right? First capital base was what? $25 billion. And it's not his money. Even if he had $25 million somewhere, he would not put it there. So these are the things. Why I said I didn't want to teach this in church, this class is not for everybody. You have to go and practice law 1 to law 8 first. Get it right. But on the other hand, I've also seen people who are intelligent, wise enough to utilize this law, that even while they are small, as startups, they utilize this law. As startups. I've also seen very small and medium scale businesses scale fast. People who have been able to build something that is little, and they utilize this law and scale very fast. Now, what I'm about to teach you requires extraordinary level of wisdom. How many of you are going to give me time to teach you this? Are you sure? If you notice, you say, yeah. Start going. I'm serious. Go and eat rice. Watch movie. K-drama. Watch premiership. And watch others make their money. And be arguing. The next thing now, you want to play betting. Looking for how favored. You even rub oil on your hand. You don't see yourself. Praise God. Are you listening to me? Now look at the next thing I told you. While this can magnify gains, it can also amplify what? Losses. Making it a double-edged sword. So it must be taken. This thing has buried a lot of business people. So that's why we want to teach it God's wisdom way. And I want you to pay attention. Businesses use financial leverage to fund three major things. I want you to watch those three major things. One is to fund expansions. I always say, every business that is genuine must start very little. Always start businesses very small. Be able to raise the capital from yourself, from your immediate family. Go, if you want to start a place, let's say a very small scale thing, you want to start selling little snacks and you don't have the money to create the snacks, go and look for car wash car, raise the money, start the snacks. Always raise the money, and the money you can, and it has to be little. There is a reason for that. Anything you don't start little, you will never know the secret of growing that thing. You will never know. Real business is not in the funds. Real business is in the skills and the secrets. Every business is not, I pay, I bring, I sell. There are hidden secrets. When you hear, for people that are in this part of the world, Nigeria, especially the southeasterners, say, "Nwa boy, they are going to learn market." Is it not buying and selling? What are you learning? Is it not go buy, take your stock, sell, make your profit, come back? Why will somebody stay 5 years, 7 years that is learning a trade? You go and start that and you will lose. Let somebody give you 50 million, start that business. In 3 years, you know why somebody went to learn. Just start it. That's how your money will go down. You'll be looking for money you don't see. So, whenever people are thinking that business needs money, they will pump money into the business and they will lose it. Because they have not learned the secrets of the music, the business, and they have not mastered the skill. Every business has hidden secrets. And it is in practice of smallness that you discover them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Wave your hands if you're getting me. The second thing is that for you to learn the secrets of any business and master the skill, you will learn it through mistakes. You will make mistakes and there will be losses. If you're not making losses in your business, you're not doing it well. That means you're not taking enough risk. You are too comfortable, very complacent with earning little. And I told you, one of the marks you know someone that is going to be very wealthy is that he's always committed to amplifying his earning. So an entrepreneur simply means a risk taker. That's what it means. You're a risk taker. So what happens when you start your business small is that the days of making mistakes will be your days of little beginning. And you're losing money you can afford to. So if you started that business with 300,000 and you lost it, you can recover. If you started it with 30 million that you borrowed and you lost it. How many of you got that now? So most times, business and financial leveraging, businesses use financial leveraging not to start. So when you hear startup, people start from their garage. They start from their room. Nobody does startup owning an office anywhere. They start from where they are. After they build that thing on their own for a while, they have even prototypes and they have books to show that this business is solvent and they've been able to drive it on their own there. They start looking for fund for what? Scaling. Somebody shout scaling. That's what you use. For scaling, for expansion. The second is for acquisitions. You use funds like this for acquisitions. And then the last but not the least is for other growth strategies. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So this is very important. Very, very important. Now, I will give you some scriptures to write down because this is God's wisdom and we want to use God's wisdom. Where do we see this happening in the Bible? Number one, let's look at 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. I'm not going to read it. You go and read it because of time. We have to manage our time very well now. Because of time. You will see a widow that went to the prophet crying that the husband is one of your sons of the prophet, one of you. And he went to borrow money. Money. Listen carefully. Now, they don't come. He don't die. Money he no get. He no finish paying. The creditors now want to collect the children. This guy used the children for collateral. And prophet anointed, though, you can be righteous, you can be anointed, and be financially naive. And any area of life, wisdom is multifaceted. There is no one wisdom that attacks everything. You must have the specific wisdom for the specific area. Somebody can be anointed, and if he lacks financial wisdom, he's going to struggle financially. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Wave your hands if you're getting me. Are you sure you're getting me? They'll come collect. Prophet say, what do you have in your house? He said, just a little cruse of, in fact, she said, nothing, just a little cruse. All you did is just a little. I told you three things last Sunday. Three things you must have, just one of them. If you have two of them, you're a sure winner. I told you, who can remind you? What's the first thing? You must have a skill. You what? Or product. Service you offer. Skill you offer as service or product. Something you can produce. Which is your skill that produces it. Something good enough. You know, it has to be valuable enough to excite the market. People have to need it and be ready to pay for it. If they are not paying for it, you're excited about it. The market is not. You have to have a rethink. There are a whole lot of people that are excited about what they like. Business is not what you like. It's what the market likes. You've got to understand that. Then what's the second thing you must have? Money to what? To invest in that thing. Everything you have, you need money to scale it. And I told you, for example, in this 21st century, in this information age, it's no longer first about what you can do. It's about who you are. It's no longer about your, it's about who knows you. Who you are first. So visibility, who sees you? And it takes a lot of investment to be visible. It takes a lot. We are going to go to school for that. Then the third thing I told you must have is what? You must have relationship. If you don't have this, there is someone else that has this. For example, if you have money, but you're very busy, there is a young man, a young woman that has skill. You can be an angel investor in, and he will give you equity. Why you focus on this? He's doing his work. You are giving him more money. He's bringing you money. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Wave your hands if you're getting it. Did you get that? You must have, when you have one of these, just one of these, you're a rich man. If you have two of them and you have it locked in, you're sure. You're very sure. Very important. Note that. So what did the prophet Elisha say to this woman? That thing you're calling nothing is nothing. All you need is leverage. That little akara joint you have is nothing. It's not nothing. That little cake you're doing is not nothing. That little snacks is not nothing. That you can make hair and people come to your house and call you is not nothing. No.
What you need is what?
Leverage.
He said, take it. Close your house. Go and borrow what?
Vessels. Vessels. Leveraging.
And he said, when you're going, there is something we say in Igbo, and somebody will interpret it in English for you. If you want chop frog, chop the one way big. He said, borrow not a few. Gather not a few. Not a few. Gather as many. He said, now start pouring. As she was pouring. Yes, the principle of the blessing was at work. You see, that number five blessing, the grace was at work. But the grace needed leverage. Needed the joining together of the neighbor's vessels. A contract. They are giving it to somebody. You're not inside. That's not what you do. Somebody comes to you. He is related to you. He likes you. He wants to favor you. Do you do this contract? Are you into roads? Yes, I am. All I need is that relationship. Can you give it to me? No problem. What do I do? Immediately, I already have one leverage. I have an SPV, a special purpose vehicle, a company I have already registered that their work is for any kind of thing. Then I start looking for who has the skill and capacity to do that kind of job. I said, my relationship brought a job. Can you do it? Say yes, but you do it under my SPV. So it will be your company and my company. I will not take away your own company. It is because I know that I want you to stand by your company. So you will say, this company and this company is agency. Are you ready to do it? Say, how, what are we going to be the sharing formula? He said, no. I can't take this now. If you take this now, how much will we be able to do it? He said, but I'll be supervising. And there is more. When you finish, you have an MOU. You sign your contracts and you get into the job straight away. All you do is to carry Hilux that is branded and be going there. Put the whatever, put your destiny and go and be doing face like this. The work is going. At the end of the day, you collect millions. Not, are you into roads? No, we are into selling rice. Go and borrow vessels. Borrow vessels, not for a few. And when she closed the door and started pouring, the Bible says that she poured and poured and poured, and the oil did not untie the vessels. Hear me. To the level you leverage is to the level the blessing works. There are many people that have limited the operation of God's grace and blessing on their finances because they are short-sighted. They are self-absorbed. They only want to walk alone and eat alone. They don't leverage. They don't leverage. So they remain. Anybody that doesn't leverage, two things happen. Number one, they will walk and sweat for everything they get all their lives. Number two, the second thing that happens is that is that they don't go too far. No matter how powerful you are, that is how far you can go alone. Let me give you another one. This has the mind of God. John chapter 6, you will see a story of a crowd, 5,000 people, not counting men and women, who were following Jesus. For 3 days, they were listening. Now they have gone far away from the city or from the town. So, and now they are hungry, tired. Jesus looks and said, these people are tired. We want to give them something to eat. He himself knew what to do, but he was asking this just to test them. This guy said, even 200 denarii worth of bread, we're not. A denarii is like 1 day's, what of wage. They said, even if we had all this money,
It won't, this is a crowd. You remember 5,000 men. You have not counted women and children. You saw that more women and children are going to be there. So it was estimated that these people will be about between 15 to 20,000 people. That's a crowd. And now you have to give them food. And then Andrew comes. And he's the connection man. Hey, there is one guy, a small child with two loaves. And what? That's leverage. We want something. Is there anybody that has something? Then they place it in the hands of Jesus. He multiplies it. Leverage is that hand that multiplies your two loaves. That's leverage. So there is something you call little. By the time that multiplication has finished, everybody had eaten to their fill, and there were 12 baskets remaining. Which family do you think will be part of those carrying the 12 baskets? The young man. That asset has appreciated. You have to think like a businessman now. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Wave your hands here. Say, I hear. So I want to put a scripture on the screen for me in the NLT. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to 12. We're going to read from verse 9 to 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, we're going to read from verse 9 to 12. Hold your neighbor. Say, hear the word of the Lord. Say, are you here? One to go. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. One more time. The difference between you tech guy, you're a tech guy, you like tech. Pastor, I'm not into people, I just like machine. That's why you've only been with your machine. The highest you can be is you create something, a solution, create an app, you'll be moving from one place to another. Who can? The guy who's not as techy as you, that is into people, is the one who got the contract in Federal Correctional Services to provide this. You that is very techy has been moving around your app. The only thing you have is you can code. Stay there now. No, be techie. Pastor, is human beings are hard to deal with. It's just, listen, this is a world of men. If you are going far, you must respect that. Value people. If you don't value relationships, if you don't value people and you don't value relationships, hey. That's the difference. Highest in now, the guy, don't you understand? People who have less skill, even people who didn't graduate from universities and outside the country, the Western world, they will call it college. They didn't graduate from college, are the ones employing the PhDs. The ones who are employing the PhDs and you're working. You know, one day there was this guy, he didn't even finish high school, a dropout, but a big guy. And he was in this place where they had, you know, they brought him to speak as a motivational speaker to one of the graduates of one of these Ivy schools. So when he finished talking to them, he said, you people have wonderful learning. You have learned so much. You finished everything, motivating them. He now said, please, okay. As he was ending, he said, now I have to leave now and get to work so that I can get jobs ready for you people so you can get employed. Masters business administration, but you don't value people. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But if someone who falls alone, if you're someone who falls alone, you are in real trouble. Verse 11. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? He's not saying you should tell people, lie around me now. Just look, focus on the business. Okay. Verse 12. Let's read. One to go. I'm not hearing you. What are the things that can attack a business? Government policies. Market forces. Different things can attack a business. But if you're alone, you are attacked, the thing is defeated. But two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better. For a triple braided cord is not easily broken. If you're getting wisdom, give God praise. No, give him praise, seriously. Give me the Message translation of it. Go to verse 9, Message translation. Read with me. It is better to have a partner than to go it alone. Stop looking at your bankers as just places you put your money. You have to start talking to them. Know who your account officer is. Know who your relationship officer is. You have to know those two. Very key. And you have to look them in the eye. Start looking at banks that are very, very interested in businesses, in helping startups. There are different banks with their different philosophies. And you have to understand the one that well suits you and stop just putting money there. And you must create not your business name account. I've told you people, don't use business name. Go now, especially with the laws you have now, go and incorporate your businesses. Especially if you have very small businesses. Go and spend that money and do the incorporation. Why? Because the law you have now, if you have a profit return of less than 50 million, you're tax exempt. But if you use registered business name, that thing is seen as your personal income. And for your personal income, all that your tax exempt is 800,000. So you need to be earning 60,000 or 65,000 and below to be tax exempt. So that business name you just went to register, in the law, is seen as your personal income, not as a limited. So you go and open a limited, especially if you have small businesses. Very, very important. There are some others, but I'm on air. I'll give you. Because that's what will lead you to law number 10, the last one, is the law of financial prosperity and risk management. You must learn how to manage risk and not lose. That's one of the things about the rich. The rich pay the least of taxes. The wealthy pay the least of taxes. They have to protect their investments. And they do and understand how to navigate these laws to make sure. So all this foundation, you think that is flowing everywhere. What do you think we are doing with it? So there are things we are going to get you into. But let's focus on this. It is better to have a partner than to go it alone. Share the work and share the wealth. Please hold the neighbor by your side. Share calm. No, go shake your guy for your work. Your guy brought you. You say, oh God, pastor say make I shake calm. When they fire you, come meet me. All right. Read that into your neighbor and read that loud. One to go. So this is the crux of the matter. Everybody focus now, because this is why I'm doing this. The key wisdom I want you to have in financial leveraging, even though I'm talking to you about debts, everybody listen, The next 15 minutes is very key. I'm wrapping up in the next 15 minutes and it's very key. If you miss this, you missed everything. Because I told you that this is very delicate. So you can't just pick one aspect of it and run. You can destroy yourself by going to take a loan. Now listen, the key wisdom in financial leveraging is to owe no man anything. Don't owe anything. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 6. I want you to learn this warning. Hear me. This is God's wisdom. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 6. Put it on the screen for me, please, if you can. For the Lord your God will bless you just as he promised you. You shall lend to many nations. You shall not what? Are you hearing me now? But you know, the Bible is awesome. He said, go and borrow some vessels. That's why I'm telling you the balance. Okay? You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. There is a reason. He said, you shall lend and not borrow. You shall reign because the borrower becomes a slave to the lender. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. Put it out. Everybody read with me. One, two, go. The rich rules over the poor. Look at the second thing. Again. And the borrower is what? So while you are in this business, the first thing is not to owe. But pastor, I went to collect loan. How am I not owing? There is a secret. Not to owe. If somebody gives me equity, capital, and makes an investment, and I have to be bringing equity, how am I not owing him? Now listen very carefully. What this means is that you should never put yourself or your business organization under the yoke and slavery of bad debts. There are good debts and there are bad debts. Never sabotage your bad debts, sabotages your financial liberty. It's as if there is a yoke on you. It doesn't, good debts liberates, leverages, it gives you more wings. Bad debts clamp your wings. It's as if you're now walking, everything you're doing is for the person you're owing. Never sabotage your financial liberty because of unrealistic ambition. That's a problem. And that's what leads people here. They hear of financial leveraging. They hear of land leveraging. They just think of, let me throw money to everything. We are having this thing in our business. Oh, we need to do this. They throw money at it. Everything about business, they throw money at it. They get into bad debts. Now, listen carefully. Real wealth is created and built effectively in an environment where you are free to navigate as you choose. That's why when you see some startups and certain big, you know, corporations want to come and buy them up and make them lose control of the company, they refuse. They refuse offers, and later, oh yes, it's still a gamble. Every business is a risk. Later you understand why they refuse that offer. Real wealth is created and built effectively in an environment where you are free to navigate as you choose. Bad debts takes that liberty and choice away. You just notice that for the next 3 years, 4 years, all you're doing is making money to pay back the bank. You're seeing what's happening to some banks? I won't call their names because now Nigerian corporations know that when you call their names now, the next thing, they sue you for defamation. So let me leave. But go and investigate. There are some banks that posted very good profits, but their balance sheets didn't balance. What does that mean? They couldn't pay shareholders' dividends, even though they posted the profits they are quoting. You know why? You know why? Three major banks now in Nigeria are having that issue. Three major banks. And very big banks, because of bad debts. So for banks, it's not bad debts, it's bad loans. Loans that are running into trillions that they can't recover now. There is a particular oil company, I won't call them, just go and investigate, that is responsible for this, even in those three banks, majorly. One oil company. And the guy collected chieftaincy title. If you see the wedding of the, one of the children last year, last 2 years, all the people, most people you're calling big men. I don't want to go too far. Let me just keep my quiet. There are some that if the only thing happens and they are not here, their children are in, they will start selling off everything they have. That's not wealth. You see, they've violated the law of posterity. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Not wahala. And while we're talking about business, there are some that their own is not even business, it's tradition. They'll go and take other title. Take title that when they die, they put their children in debt because of what it requires to bury them. And these children they are putting in debt, they did not give anything in life except basic education and basic amenities. So when your father tries to take anything, they warn him. No, come put trouble for my head. I'm warning you. Okay, because before they say I didn't honor you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Be careful what you're doing. And you don't do the same to your children. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it takes away that thing. Now, this is where we are going to be. If you must use debts, I'm an equity man. I'm not a debt man. I prefer equity. I like shared risk. Amen? But I also understand the laws and the economics of this world. And as the Bible said, we should be as wise. You have to understand their laws, understand their game, and use it to your advantage. Okay? For those who may ever use debts, which is borrowed funds, you are advised to use only good debts. And I'm going to give you 4 things that makes debts good. And then we close. 4. I just have about 7 more minutes. 4 things. Number 1. Firstly, you only borrow funds for corporate business purposes, not personal purposes. Did you notice I didn't say self-business, corporate business? That business you run, that only you run it, you are the beginning and the end of that business. Only you control the account. Even though you open the business account, not only you, they control them. You can move money from here to here at will. No, go use and take loan. Now, me, they tell you. If you use and take loan, egafo. You go see. All some of you here, you know what I'm saying, because it has happened to you before. If you like, CEO. Label limited. Now self-business. You're just self-employed. There is no structure. There is no board. There is no team. You don't even have a corporate structure to what you do. Every money that comes, you handle it at will. If you use that kind of thing to collect loan, Okay. You will know why some businesses have accountants, have chief financial officers, have legal advisors, have different things that safeguard their decision processes before they sign off money or use money. You understand? That there must be safeguards. Did you hear me? Why? Because if you don't make your business have a corporate structure, when it is at will, you will always have moments and times where you will be forced, life will force you to use business money for personal purposes. And the moment that happens, the interest will start piling. So if you want to use the first thing, that's one of the things we are going to do in our business school, is how to teach people to build corporate structures, even with little things you do. Stop. A business is supposed to have a distinct, indifferent entity. Personality from you is very different from you. That's one. Number two. Secondly, your business only borrows for the three things: your scaling, expansion, or your acquiring, acquisitions, or for growth initiatives. Never use loans to run operations. Never use loans to make a business survive. Don't throw money into... Now, these are the wisdoms God has given me, and through my meditation, and I could give you scriptures upon scriptures, but because of time, and when you come to the business school, we are going to give you more. You can think otherwise, but you don't... Throwing money at a business doesn't solve everything. You can use money to solve a lack of net of marketing systems or marketing routes. You have not understood how to market, and you've not created a network of how you market your thing. If you like, be throwing money at it. Advert, you go waste your money. There are things that only wisdom solves. There are things that partnership, getting who knows better than you, solves. Everything is not about money. Did you get that? So when you start running into problems with operations, with certain things, and your business is struggling, that's not, you don't use loan to go and bring back a business that is struggling. It will chop the loan. It's like sowing. That's what Jesus was telling us. You don't sew new cloth on an old cloth. It will tear the old one and make the tear what? Worse. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Number three. Thirdly, your worst case projected income must be far greater than the borrowed fund and the interest on it. So you are borrowing to drive growth. Your business want to enter into new markets. Your business want to scale. Your people want to do this. And you're driving anything that has to do with growth. You look at, in business, I tell people, when you are working on the numbers, whenever people come to me and they are pitching their business, they want me to invest, the first thing I want to see is their numbers. I want to see the numbers. How well are you doing and what's your projected numbers? What are you going to do? If I'm putting this money, what will it be bringing? And most times they begin to pad it. They begin to, you know, dress it up. I said, you're making a mistake. That's not what's going to convince me. Whenever you effort, there are a whole lot of business people that people have pitched to me that I just smiled and I said, I will see you later. And you know when we say we'll see you later? It's made they go. Okay, I'll see you later. Because I've already known that the person got his numbers. Once you get your numbers wrong, you can't get the business right. You must know your numbers as a businessman. The second thing I look for is your books. I want to know whether you're disciplined enough to separate yourself from the business. Whether you have right bookkeeping. And now we have a lot of softwares. We have digital banking. That's a whole lot. So I can just tell you, go and get me the statement of your business account for this. I want to see, where is your expenditure and operations account? Where is your gross income account? They must be different. You can't use the same account for gross income and then use the same account for expenditure. You have to be able to separate them and know what your profit is. I want to see those things and look at your books. Do you... So when I look at those things, I ask yourself, how much do you pay yourself? A good businessman earns salary from his own company. You pay yourself. That's what you call business profits. You know what your profit is. Whether you pay yourself by equity or you pay yourself by fixed salary, you must pay yourself. And you stay only on what you pay yourself. The others must go back to recapitalization. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And when I don't see those things, I'm going to sink my money. And I'm not going to give you money. Because as I am, I don't have to give you money. I have lots of portfolio investments that gives me peace. That I don't have to be running around checking anybody, whether you eat my money or not. And I just sleep and I'm making money. So I want to invest in you because I believe in you. But that I believe in you doesn't mean nobody uses gaining and losing to get rich. In Igbo, we say, Adeje Apata Atufuo. So the reason people are wealthy is because they were not pouring their water inside baskets. So don't be angry that I'm not investing. You have not convinced me. You want me to give you 13 million. You want me to give you 15 million. And yet you do not do the work that ensures that first of all, my money will be safe. Second of all, that you will make more money on top of it. Third of all, that I will get the joy that I raised somebody. And third of all, that you give me another joy of bringing back profit on the money. Even God said it. When he gives people, the master will go and come and will ask, what did you do? If you make profit, he calls you what? That good and the one that didn't make profit, what did he call him? Wicked servant. Pastor give you money. Your papa give you money. Your uncle give you money. Somebody God brought by favor give you money and you're talking. And let me tell you, it is those people that lose those monies. The people that end up becoming your worst enemies in life are the people you gave so much money to that they lost it. So sometimes you save yourself from enemies by not investing in them. I hope you're getting wisdom. The mindset of the world is very different. You got to do the work. You must do the work. You got to do the work. You have to do the work. Settle it. Anywhere there is laziness is failure. Speaking tongues, be lazy. Tongue talking, failure. You got to do the work. You've got to do the work. So when I read your numbers, I want to know, is this the worst case projected income? I want you to know that there is a worst case projected income. Say market forces are not favorable. Say, Pastor, I believe we can sell to 1,000 persons. But anyhow, there is no way we won't sell to 300 persons. If the worst case projected income is far greater than the borrowed fund and the interest on it, that's a good debt. If it's not up to it, you're going to get yourself into trouble. Because you are not supposed to owe. Your business you're borrowing for is supposed to do the business and be servicing the loan. Did you get that? But if it can't do that, you have entered debts. That's it. Owe no man anything. Now, write this down. The ROI, which is your return on investment, that you made an investment, your ROI, if it's not greater than the borrowed funds, it is bad debt. And at worst, you will end up incurring a magnified loss and lose your business. And remember, you are not just losing the business, you lose the collateral that came with it. And at best, the person becomes a financial slave to the lender for a very period of time. The person will now be working as a slave just to pay. And you know, a slave is only given what it needs to have the strength to work the more. Did you understand that? Did you get that now? The last but not the least, we are there now. Fourthly, you must assess the debt to equity ratio. Don't ask me, go and study it. That's why I wrote it down, so you can go and learn it. And the debt to asset ratio. Assess it. Write it down and go and study it, because this is not business school, this is church. You must assess it so well, and the interest coverage ratio, there is what we call interest coverage ratio, to determine if the borrowing is good or bad. Should I or should I not? So you use empirical facts. You don't borrow emotionally. No wealthy man makes irrational decisions with finances. You have to be calculative. So in lay terms, let me show you. But go and study what I just wrote. A good business will have more funds. Am I fast? I don't want to keep you here till we have overshot our time, okay? So, a good business, but I intend to finish this today. A good business will have more funds. Watch this. Financing the operation of the business from its shareholders rather than from debts. They will rather bring funds for financing the operations from equity than using debts. They don't use debts to run operations, every good business. They use it for acquisitions, for scaling. They want to enter new market, drive growth. So a company like Dangote will not be using debts to buy diesel that they are using to run their cement factories. No. When they want to open a new cement factory, they use debts. When they want to open and get into a new place, refinery, they use what? Debts. They don't borrow to put into the operation of a business. No, you don't do that. Did you get that? Wave your hands if you're getting me. Now, look again. A good business, write this down, will have its assets optimally financed by equity and not debts. Your assets should be optimally financed by equity and not debts. So, if I want to finance the assets, the major assets I have, I want to use equity than debts. A good business will only, that's why sometimes when you see some institutions and businesses and corporations, you know, declaring a public offer, and they say they are selling their shares, what the shareholder is that he's a co-owner of the company. They are sharing equity. It's public equity. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And they use it to finance their assets, not debts. They don't go borrowing against their assets. No, you have that. The last but not the least, a good business will only acquire debts. Hear me. Only acquire debts when it can easily underwrite the debts and the interest. So they know they can underwrite the debts. For example, my assets and my operations are bringing me, let me say, an overturn of how much now? Let me say $25 million annually with what I'm doing now. $25 million annually. And then I begin to see that I want to venture into a new market. So I go and use debts for expansion. And I borrow and I look at, by the time I checked all the things, the debts and everything, I can underwrite it. Both the debts I'm going into with all the interest, everything will be about $18 million. You see, this other one can underwrite it, even if I run into trouble. But I want this one to keep working. Let me go and collect people that kept their money in the bank and don't know what to use, so we can use it for them. I get it, and it's producing more money for me. But in case I run into trouble, this one can underwrite it. You have a good debt. Give God praise. But if you go and collect a debt you can't underwrite with something else substituting it, that's a dangerous thing. Now, I will not say that there are people who do not take such risk blindly, and sometimes it works, but very few times. Many times it traps them. I'm not saying that this must be a formula. I'm just saying this is the formula of the wise. Did you get that? May the Lord bless you. Number 10, this tonight, I said tonight, you don't reach to call tonight. Today will be the last of this series. From next Sunday, we will begin a new series. So, the number 10, I won't teach it here. What is inside number 10 is, I won't teach it here. You will come to the business school. What's number 10? Law of what? Financial posterity and? So that's where you begin to, your mindset in building wealth is generational. Somebody say generational. Your mindset is not, I want to hit money. Your mindset is, I'm building generational what? Wealth. And anybody that is building anything generational must understand that there must be serious protection for it. So do you know why some people have holding companies? Sometimes we call them shell companies. And they will go to certain countries. You know, some of these islands that are in, where they are tax havens. They don't tax your income. And they route their money through all those things. Because you have people who are in countries, and Nigeria is catching up, where the government will take almost 50%. The federal government will take, the state will take, their local councils will take, and there are different kinds of things. Just when you don't understand the law number, just for, and Nigeria is going with what this government is doing, the next government will be sharper and sharper. And that's the truth. The more civilized a nation, the more organized the nation, the more task works. Okay? So, just that you have properties and you have estates, and estates, I'm not just talking about what you call real estate, okay? The total assets that you are giving, companies, different things you're giving to your children and your grandchildren. Just that transfer alone can reduce that wealth more than half. If you don't understand wealth protection, you must know the secrets behind wealth protection. How to protect most of your wealth so that the value doesn't keep going down, and the people who know nothing about it don't keep incurring into it. And so it can maintain its value and keep rising from generation to generation. You will teach your children the same thing, and they will teach their children the same thing. That's where you have certain families that have traditions. There are some of them that we know, everybody talks about them, like the Rockefellers and all those things. They have transferred their wealth from generation to generation. You see the Walmart guys, right? From generation to generation. You're born into that family, you're made for life. Because there are trusts that are set, things that are set up, and we must begin to have that conversations as people who live in Africa and who never knew that there is something like that. You will have to start dreaming big. I want you to do one thing. Get out a seed, your offering, your whatever it is, your tithe, your partnership, but make sure it's something tangible. Bring it out. We're going to do something now. Because we are finished with this. Those of you that give through other means, get them the information on the screen.